Smith Show. Interesting news about Megyn Kelly. Evidently, she's been dropped as the host of the Promise Champions Gala. It's an annual event for those, the horrible tragedy at Sandy Hook. The idea of promoting gun prevention, the idea of, protecting families. And the interview that Megyn Kelly did with Alex Jones has them a little irked. In fact, the co-founder of the organization, Nicole Hockley, said that Sandy Hook Promise cannot support the decision by Megyn or NBC to give any forum or a voice or a platform to Alex Jones, and have asked Megyn Kelly to step down as their host. And again, I saw the pictures and all that, and you go, where exactly is this all going as the mainstream media marries up with someone as far out on the fringe as Alex Jones? Very bizarre stuff. Anyway, here to talk about what's going on around the world and, well, in Washington, D.C., there as the sessions hearing begins. I've asked Andrea Terlupa to come talk with us. She is a writer and also the co-organizer of the March for Truth. Andrea, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you think of this interview series? I mean, there's a lot of this bizarre stuff going on. You've got Megyn Kelly interviewing Alex Jones. You've got Oliver Stone and his series with Vladimir Putin, and then coming out saying, he's a peaceable guy, just wants to talk, good statesman.
Right. I mean, I don't think any U.S. media should be giving a mouthpiece to Putin if he's just going to play them. I mean, you don't go in there and send Megyn Kelly to interview Putin ever. You send an actual journalist.
I mean, it just seems like the world is upside down. I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me being, growing up when I did. But all of this talk around Russia, all of this talk of they're more... more friendly to us than the Democratic. It kind of scares me.
Yeah, no, it the world has turned upside down. Definitely, that's what it feels like. And then you have the report today that coming out that the Russian hackers breached far more states' voting systems.
39
realized. 39.
That's what I've been saying that all morning. 39. We were told it was like 4, maybe 5. We find out 39. And that Obama used the bat phone.
Yes, the bat phone. My gosh, if only Obama was able to keep the bat phone. So that's very disturbing. And one point that I've seen, people starting to make is maybe the GOP is so gleefully pushing it.
Or not.
Really, pillaging, our government agencies for private corporate profit. Maybe they're behaving in such a manner because they know the Russians have their back. You have this really disturbing coalition between America's far right and the far right that's ruling Putin's government. And if that's the case, then the question that people are raising is if we're ever going to have a free election again.
Yeah. No, I mean, the question is, do the Russians have their back or their backside?
Right. What is going on? What is the arrangement? The point I will forever make is the intelligence report that Obama ordered on his way out revealed that the GOP organizations, GOP leaders, were hacked by the Russians, and that information has yet to be weaponized, which could explain some of their behavior. In addition to that, you have the bombshell that from Comey's testimony that the president of the United States dismissed Kushner and Sessions from his office, and those two seem to give the impression that they knew what was coming next. And the president of the United States then essentially bribed Comey to go easy on Flynn in exchange for keeping his job. And what happened next was that Comey was then fired. And so this is a president that clearly is comfortable with bribing. And the way Comey described it, that Sessions and Kushner, his son-in-law, knew it was coming. So maybe they're possibly comfortable with bribing. So maybe some of the bizarre behavior we're seeing by Devin Nunes and others is that maybe they've been bribed. Maybe they're getting a piece of some action in exchange for playing along. So, so there's a lot of sort of a feeling of like infiltration and a feeling of that there's a coalition in the U.S. government that's working against our national interests and our national sovereignty in exchange for personal private gain.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know that Kushner's been bought and paid for because, look, he's in the will.
Right.
You know, that's a given. But Sessions, you got to wonder what it is they've got on him, other than the fact the guy gave up a longtime Senate seat to become attorney general, only to get thrown to the curb within a couple of months. You got to wonder if that doesn't play into this as well.
Absolutely. And the fact that he's leaving out, we're finding out that he met with the Russian ambassador, Kislyak, more than we even were aware of before when we discovered that he had lied about their meetings. So why is he meeting with this Russian ambassador, which is whatever, fine, okay, members of Congress meet with diplomats from foreign countries all the time, sure. But why is he lying about it? It's always the cover-up it's always the information that people are not sharing that gets them in trouble.
Well, let me ask you this, because I keep hearing this all the time, that members of Congress are always meeting with foreign diplomats. My question is simple. Why? Why is it that our diplomats and their diplomats aren't meeting and there are official channels for that? Why is it that their people are basically lobbying our representatives?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to meet. I mean, our universities are collaborating on research, for one example. There's all types of business interests and import, export, whatever. It's not unusual for members of Congress to have to go to, events after work at embassies, receptions and whatnot. It's really good for sort of building bridges. But what's unusual in this case is omitting the information, from Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, to Jeff Sessions, omitting, Jared Kushner admitting from his security clearance form that he met with the Russian ambassador. So the fact that they're trying to hide this information shows that it's the tip of the iceberg, that they must have something greater to hide behind this. So, where there's smoke, there's fire.
And I'd also like to know, the people who receive waivers from their ethics forms. I'd love to know what should have been on those forms.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The most frustrating thing about all this is that it's just like a fire hose of chaos that's coming out of the White House. And in a normal administration, in normal times, just the fact that Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, which is a very nepotistic situation, of course, to begin with, and very troubling to begin with, just the fact that he left off of his security clearance form that he met with the Russian ambassador, that little bit alone would warrant a huge scandal and would be it. That would be the be-all, end-all. But the fact that it's getting sort of pushed aside for this fire hose of chaos that's coming out of this White House, that's what's so frustrating about this whole setup.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it's obviously the result of having one-party rule. The fact that the Republicans control all levers of government allows this to happen. I mean, the Democrats are trying, and I give them credit for almost finding a spine, but there's only so far that can go.
Right, exactly. It's like we're in a situation now where it's one-party rule, and the party that's in charge is behaving as though, they're above the law for the most part, and that they're going to be in charge for, years to come. They're acting sort of, beyond the bounds of accountability. So there's a lot of very troubling indicators here about sort of how deep the Russian ties go with GOP leaders like Mitch McConnell, Jeff Sessions, Devin Nunes and others, and sort of what promises were made, what arrangements were made, why is the GOP suddenly, so close with the Kremlin, and given the vulnerability of our election systems, given the latest information coming out on like how widespread the Russian hacking our election systems were, what does that mean about the freedom of our elections moving forward? Do we even have political channels to get rid of these guys and flush them out of the system and elect all new people who can then go in and hold everybody accountable and protect our government from, influence by a hostile regime? What people have to understand is this cozy relationship with the ruling party in Congress and the Kremlin, that opens the floodgates for deeper infiltration. So, we have to really take a long view here the resistance may be strong against this, you know, this far right GOP agenda and you know, Trump's chaos train. It may be strong for year one and year two, year three of his administration. But, you know, we have to think long term in terms of really, you know, building up like a very strong, very deep political infrastructure to really hold back the floodgates of Putin's influence and the GOP's far right influence on really sabotaging our democracy as we know it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at this report that Bloomberg had today about just how deep, and this is just what we know right now. I mean, I'm sure there's more. But just how deep and how many tentacles the hackers got into our system. And it makes me, well, it makes me really nervous that, you know, we have this hodgepodge band-aid kind of system all over the place without any real cogent direction. And yet it doesn't seem like the White House is all that concerned.
No, absolutely. And what's really dangerous about the hacking of these systems is that, you know, people on the ground level, people on the precinct, county level across these states, if you've told them, you know, watch out for Russian hackers or, you know, any type of, you know, Russian infiltration or anybody suspicious on the ground, et cetera, they're going to look at you as though you're a conspiracy theorist, that you're crazy and or that, you know, this is all just a Russian spy movie. Like, what, you know, so people across the country who are on the front lines of our election systems, they're not necessarily trained to, you know, look out for these breaches. It's really a new frontier for us as a country. We've always sort of felt protected from the moat that are our oceans. You know, we were always this, you know, isolated country that, you know, unlike Europe, where they're all living on top of each other, and, you know, an invasion from any hostile regime could just steamroll over half the continent. No, America always was sort of spoiled with being way over here, so to speak. And now we have to get used to that in the age of cyber warfare, nowhere is safe. They can manipulate, they can infiltrate, they can get you no matter where you are in the world.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, because I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people who go, you know, the Russians didn't influence my vote. And I'm going, you actually don't know that. But do you think there's a moment, like a moment, an epiphany, a moment of clarity for those people who go, you know, maybe there's something that I don't know. Do you think that's possible?
I think people are waking up to, I think, you know, I believe that Trump regrets is real and more and more people are going to wake up to it. But as for the core of his supporters, you know, who are racist, who rely on, you know, far-right propaganda, news network, Fox News for information, et cetera, I think they're just a lost cause and you shouldn't waste time with them. And you have to really fortify, you know, your coalitions and everybody, you know, stand united and building a really strong wall against this aggressive, inhumane, far-right agenda that's being helped, supported by Putin's far-right government. I think that's where we are. But in terms of this whole election hacking, one thing that really stuck out to me weeks ago was an interview on MSNBC with independent Senator Angus King, where he said, you know, the one thing that's being overlooked in Russiagate is the election hacking. You know, we don't know if they were successful in changing vote tallies or whatever this election, but they may be next time around.
Right. No, I can't tell you, you know, I had a bunch of people email me results from Detroit where they said there are more votes than there are people. And I'm going, well, you know, I don't know that to be the fact, but, you know, is there some meddling that could have happened? You know, shouldn't we get to the bottom of that? Shouldn't we have investigations into all of our voting systems? Because, look, it's my view, if you soil the sanctity of the ballot box, if you destroy the foundation of this idea of self-rule, you basically destroy the whole system.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think one thing that news organizations would be really smart to do, so, you know, when ProPublica first launched, they had this brilliant journalist, Amanda Mickle. She's now at The Guardian. When Amanda Mickle was, you know, one of the founding staffers of ProPublica, a nonprofit investigative journalism, you know, organization, you know, within 2 years, they won a Pulitzer. I believe it was within 2 years. So one of the things that Amanda was charged with doing was essentially crowdsourcing investigations. So she was very, she focused on building online communities to sort of, harness the wisdom of the crowd, so to speak, to pull together information to help reporters with stories. So right now you see a lot of that energy on Twitter, where everybody's become a super sleuth and digging into the vote hacking, for instance. So there's a lot of that energy and appetite out there. And normally, like newsrooms, you know, like what the experiment ProPublica did, normally newsrooms would like kill for that type of, you know, audience engagement and crowdsourcing and that innovative news gathering model of crowdsourcing, et cetera. Normally they'd love that. Well, I don't see a lot of them, you know, taking advantage of this current zeitgeist of everybody wanting to help and get to the bottom of what's going on and digging in and doing research. You know, that free volunteer crowdsourcing energy, that's out there. And so smart newsrooms should take advantage of that and pull together, you know, crowdsourcing to look into the voting hack, look into these fishy numbers, see what's real, see what's not.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much here. Last line of questioning I've got for you today, the big hearing with Jefferson Beauregard, session the third. Any thoughts on the breaking news of yesterday that Trump was considering firing Robert Mueller?
I think that was very difficult news for everyone, because if he were to do that, that would be, you know, effectively a purge. You know, what's been happening, you know, the sort of thing that happens in a banana republic or happens in Erdogan's Turkey or Russia. So that would be, you know, that would be just really dark for that to happen. And it could very well happen, because Trump himself is very dark. So I think it's a very precarious situation. And I think, you know, Jeff Sessions, his public testimony, I'm sure they've got some game plan going, and we just have to watch to see what it is. We have to look for what information is leaving out. And obviously there's going to be a lot of great senators like Kamala Harris and others who are going to know what questions to ask, and just, you know, whether he can answer them or not. But just the fact that they raised the question, that tells us sort of where we should all be looking for the next shoe to drop.
Yeah, this is not going away anytime soon. And I'm sure we'll have you back to continue to inform us, let us know what's going on, keep us up to date.
Thank you so much.
Always great talking with you. Thanks so much, Andrea. If you want to check out the website, we'll get a link to Andrea Chalupa's site at therickSmithShow.com. Just click on her name. Take it right there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Muslims away from me with my jingle.